All right, we're doing this series on basic Christian disciplines. This week, I think, is part 7. At least that's the number that I remember us being on. Spent quite a bit of time talking about self-control. And this week, we're going to move into the area of perseverance. Again, as we've said, the main focus of this whole series, and you don't have a blank for this week, but the main focus has been the issue of lordship. And in this case, this week, these are the questions that I want you to ask yourself. Who decides when I give up or quit? And what compels me to keep going? Who decides when I give up or quit? What compels me to keep going? Hey, do me a favor. Grab the light switch, the one closest to you. Just flick that one off. The one closest to you there. See if we can get the little bit brighter. Perfect. Thank you. Now, I've got a couple pictures I need to show you. Now, are you familiar with the motivational posters? You're familiar with motivational posters? Okay. I got a couple I can show you. Go to the next slide here. The first motivational poster, these are posters you'll find in offices and workplaces. Maybe some of you have them around. Determination. Notice you have a tiny little tree and a really big tree, and it says in tiny little print there, it is the size of one's will which determines success. Obviously not the size of the tree itself, right? The size of your will. So do you feel inspired and motivated? I mean, the whole point of these is to kind of motivate you, to give you kind of a pretty picture and a nice saying. And go, oh yeah, that's neat. That's a good quote. That's a good statement. There's a lot of good motivational posters out there. Here's another one on courage. Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. And notice the penguin is diving into the water with other penguins behind him. And, you know, so you get the sense of, okay, I want to be that lead penguin. But that's not a phrase I've ever said before. I want to be the lead penguin. Now, understand there's a company called despair.com that decided they needed to fight motivational posters with demotivational posters. For example, motivation. If a pretty poster and a cute saying are all it takes to motivate you, you probably have a very easy job, the kind robots will be doing soon. Now, you have to take this with a grain of salt. And the only reason I really wanted to put this up for you is because Laura ordered me a calendar from despair.com with demotivators. And this was the one on the front of my calendar. Perseverance. The courage to ignore the obvious wisdom of turning back. And if you notice, the car is driving into a tornado. Now, we're going to talk about perseverance today. Understand, I'm not talking about making stupid decisions. I'm not talking about persevering through the sinking of the Titanic, all right? There are times when you know you've just got to turn around. Okay, but we're going to hope that the message that you heard on practicing wisdom will apply and help you make the right choice in persevering through whatever things that you need to persevere through. But I just thought, yeah, perseverance, the courage to ignore the obvious wisdom of turning back. Okay, anyway, that's fine. I want to start really now by reading Galatians 5:1. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes to the Galatian church. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now, Paul is addressing a situation in which the folks here that have converted to Christianity are being kind of bombarded by people around them, trying to get them to return to old Jewish customs. And this phrase, this two-word phrase, stand firm, in a lot of ways describes what I want you to kind of take to heart when it comes to persevering, when it comes to standing firm through the things that buffet you, through the things that affect you, through the things that might cause you to want to give up on doing what is right. The Apostle Paul frequently compares our Christian life to a race. As we focus on constantly gaining ground, we need to make sure that we take steps to maintain our progress and continually move forward. Let's just stay there for a minute and look at that. The Apostle Paul frequently compares our Christian life to a race. As we focus on constantly gaining ground, we need to make sure that we take steps to maintain our progress and continually move forward. I'm telling you, the truth of this comparison to our relationship with God to a race has never become more crystal clear to me than when I started running again. When I say again, running for the second time. I ran last year a little bit. We didn't run through the winter. Laura and I started the running program over again. And I tell you, there's so much in this whole idea of persevering and gaining ground and pressing forward and not giving up. You just can't believe it's a wealth. It's a treasure trove of understanding sometimes how that relates to our walk with God. Part of the problem with running is if you're not always pushing yourself to go a little farther, it becomes very difficult to maintain. And the analogy or the thing that reminds me of in our Christianity is that oftentimes if we're not purposefully moving forward, if we're not purposefully making choices and taking steps to gain ground, oftentimes we're falling back. Because there are pressures and forces moving against us, forces working against us to always cause us to want to slide back into old patterns of behavior and old habits. And so what I really want you to focus on when we talk about perseverance today is really a sense of moving forward, pressing forward, gaining ground, maintaining ground so that we don't fall back. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. I've got this on three slides, so we'll just kind of read through it. Finally, Paul says, this is to the Ephesian church now, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able, or you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place. We're not going to take a lot of time to talk about these things. We've talked about them before. But the idea of truth and righteousness that comes from Christ protecting us. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You know how it can be sometimes when you're running into the wind. You know, some of you that have done long distance running, it's almost inevitable sometimes you're going to find yourself running against the wind. That can really work. Swimming upstream, rowing upstream. Life is like that. There are things in life that are going to push against you. And if you stop, if you try to coast, you won't be able to. You're just going to get pushed back. So there always has to be this sense of forward motion, this sense that I'm always moving forward. I'm always taking steps forward. I'm clawing my way towards a goal. You know, we could go to lots of scriptures in which Paul talks about keeping his eye on the goal and pressing on, and pressing forward. And obviously, I would be repeating myself a lot, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But in this particular passage, you get kind of an image of a soldier preparing for battle. And particularly in Paul's day, 2,000 years ago, you know, he's in his mind has a picture of the standard soldier with the Roman armor and getting ready for the battle. And the only way that soldier is going to be able to withstand and plant his feet against the onslaught is to be fully suited up and ready to go. Now, for those of you that have ever played Red Rover, remember that game? Red Rover, we call Dylan right over. You know, there was always some kid that you didn't want to, you know, you were afraid he was going to try to run. You would lock hands with the person standing next to you. And that one team, they were all locked hands, and the other team, and you would call one person, and they would try to run through and break through the weakest point of the line. So you'd come up with all kinds of different ways, and you'd be planting your feet, and you'd be grabbing the other person's hand, and you'd come, and then some kid would come, and he'd get hung up on the arm, and he'd be hanging there, and he didn't get through. Or another kid would come, and he was this huge kid that was 900 pounds, and he was charging around like a locomotive, and you know, and the kids would let go before he even got there because they didn't want to have broken limbs and torn flesh. You know, You know, but I get this picture of kids playing that game, you know, when they were getting ready, that big kid's coming, they're planting their feet, they're getting ready. You know, and so that similar image in my mind of a soldier preparing for battle, being ready for the inevitable attack. You know, look, we live in a world in which there are a lot of things working against us. We have an enemy. And if we're not ready for the attack, we're going to find ourselves under attack. And if you're not ready, you're going to get yourself, you're going to find yourself blown over. And so I get this picture of, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, because it's coming, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand. So I get this picture of the attack coming, the explosion, the dust clears, and the hero shot of the soldier standing there because he's withstood the attack, and now he can move forward. So to persevere daily, and like I said, I could spend a lot of time talking about that, but I just want to kind of touch on this today without getting into a lot of detail about the armor of God, because I know I've preached on that many times before. We're just going to go ahead and move forward. To persevere daily is to do the following three things. First is to stand firm. And to do that, I want to encourage you, you need to make the determination that you will plant your feet and stand against the enemy. If some of you have made decisions to follow Christ. Some of you have made decisions to forsake habits that have been destroying you. Some of you have made decisions to pursue a different course of action in your life than you would have otherwise. And so my encouragement to you is you've made that decision as God has led you and guided you, as the Word of God has shown you. You need to plant your feet and stand against the enemy, because he will come against you to try to get you to quit, to give up, and to not follow through with your commitment. The second thing that goes in, and even more than standing firm, is I want to suggest that we need to dig in. We need to prepare. Specifically, we talk about the armor of God for the inevitable spiritual battle. You know, we talk about righteousness. Look, righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, that only comes from being right with God. It's not that hard to be right with God when you just come to him in openness and honesty and seek his rightness. So when we play all these games and we tend to be something that we're not, the breastplate of righteousness is nowhere to be seen. We can't take on the righteousness of Christ and try to pretend that somehow we're righteous without acknowledging our sinfulness and coming to God and taking on his righteousness. Salvation protects your mind. The shield of faith that's built by the Word of God protects you against the attacks of the enemy. The belt of truth. You know, again, these are all things that go back to God's truth and God's Word. Truth comes from the Word of God. Righteousness comes as a result of the Word of God. The readiness of the gospel, you know, I mean, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It comes from the Word of God. If faith is built, like it says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and salvation comes from the Word of God, and the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, ultimately, your preparation comes back to everything that you're going to find in here that's going to equip you to stand and to dig in. In Mark 4, Jesus talks about the seed that's sown along the path. And then he tells them, you know, what he meant in his parable. He says, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown in the rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. See, this last part describes somebody who hasn't dug in, hasn't decided to stand firm. So a lot of people that make decisions, a lot of people that make choices, but before their roots are deep, before they planted themselves, before they've really resolved that I'm going to do this thing, the enemy comes out of nowhere, blindsides them, blows them off their feet, and they say, well, I tried that Christianity thing once and it didn't work, so I guess it's not for me. My goal, my desire, my heart for each of you that's here is to find a way to dig your roots deeper into God's soil so that you can learn what it means to be more like Christ and be prepared when the enemy comes and tries to get you to quit, tries to get you to give up, tries to get you to just throw it all away. See, Jesus says in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So See, in this world, you will have trouble. There's going to be trouble. There just is going to be. And Jesus says, but don't worry about that. I want you to take heart. I have overcome the world. All right, let's go to the third point here. To persevere daily is to do the following three things. Number three, hold your ground in order to overcome evil. Hold your ground in order to overcome evil. So, you know, this is kind of your mantra for the week. Stand firm, dig in, hold your ground. Stand firm, dig in, hold your ground. Now make sure you're standing firm and digging in and holding your ground for something that's worth standing firm, digging in, and holding your ground. Make sure you're not driving into the tornado, for one. Or you're basically going to die for a hill that doesn't matter. Sometimes we get stubborn, and that's not perseverance. That's just dumb. And that's stupid, because we get stubborn about things that don't matter, and then we don't persevere about the things that truly are important. You know, again, this is where the wisdom comes in. So I don't know if I have to spell it out for you, but you know, there are things in your life that don't matter. It's not worth the fight. There are other things in your life that very are much, that's terrible grammar, that are very much, I sound like I'm Elena talking. They are very much, anyway. Yes, Daddy. Okay, anyway, they are very much worth the fight. And they're worth fighting for, they're worth standing firm for, they're worth digging in for, holding your ground for, because God's called you to it. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, I mean, there's a sense where if God is calling you to do something, submit to God and go with him. If the enemy is pushing you a different direction, resist that with all your might. Resist it with all your might. Stand firm, dig in, hold your ground. 1 Peter 5:9 says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Boy, there's like a trend here. Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. You know, there are times when you go through a hard time in your life, you know, and you're suffering through some things, and you know it's not really God's plan for your life, and you know you just need to kind of get through this situation so that you can come out the other side, be ready to keep moving forward. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Because what you're going through isn't unique. What you're going through isn't, you know, that's another lie the enemy tries to throw at you. We talked about, last week, I think we talked about the fact that one of the lies of the enemy is, you know, you can't tell anybody about that thing you're struggling with because nobody else is struggling with that. If you tell anybody, they're going to judge you. They're going to think badly of you because nobody else is struggling with that thing. And we discovered that in the scriptures, it says that Jesus has been tempted in all ways that we were tempted, and that no temptation has fallen upon us that isn't common to man. And in this case, you're not suffering alone because other people have gone through the same kind of things that you're going through right now. All right, five keys to perseverance. Just a couple things you need to keep in mind if you're really going to persevere. If you've determined that there's some choices that you need to make, some spiritual disciplines that you need to pursue, some kind of direction in your life that God is guiding you and leading you as far as your future is concerned, a calling on your life, something you know that God is calling you to do, remember these few things as you persevere. Number one, strength and protection come from God's word, pure and simple. Kind of goes back to what we talked about with the armor, but strength and protection comes from God's word. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That means you're not seeking advice from people who don't really have any kind of relationship with God, or walk with sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, which that's an easy one for us to find ourselves in. But what? His delight is in what? The law of the Lord. That's where he finds his delight. Not in getting advice from people that don't know better. Not from going with people that shouldn't be going where they're going. Not from mocking with people that shouldn't be mocking. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates, thinks on, ponders day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So I get this sense that when the word of God is your focus, when the word of God is your delight, you're like that tree. And a tree, a large, strong tree with a deep root system, is a powerful thing to withstand a storm. It will persevere. Shallow root systems are disastrous. Places where the soil is loose and there's no water can be disastrous. But a tree with a deep root system that is a source of water is a strong and a healthy tree. Number two. Oh, there's a big blank there. Look at that. Prayer. Ooh, that's rocket science again. What did we read in Ephesians 6, 18? I don't know if I've got this one up or not. I think I do. 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You know, there's kind of a sense of, you know, pray for yourself and pray for others. You want to persevere? You got to have some communication with the general. You got to have some communication with God so that you can express your concerns and present your requests and get orders and listen for what it is that he wants to share with you. The third key is your motivation. If I'm going to persevere, my motivation has to be grounded in love. There are times we persevere and our perseverance is grounded in the wrong thing. It's grounded in anger. It's grounded in bitterness. It's grounded in pride. It's grounded in stubbornness. And if that's your motivation behind the perseverance, you might as well just give up now because it's going to end badly. Guarantee it. In fact, this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, 3 through 14 about that. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. Which is interesting because at first we read this verse and it sounds like a very manly verse. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. Because for us, love is our floofy. Anyway, the reality is love is a selfless thing in which you choose. The good of God and the good of others, what God desires over your own selfishness. So my motivation must always be grounded in love, specifically in God's love and love for others. If it's not, my perseverance will run thin quickly. Number four, there is power in unity. I think I'm going to talk a lot more about this next week. Next week will be part eight. And I believe my message is going to be the discipline of community. Which you're thinking, what? We live in a society where it's very easy for us to separate ourselves from those in the body of Christ. To not think that we need accountability. To not think that we need to be part of a body of believers in worship on a regular basis, to forsake opportunities to get together in Bible study and service and worship together. And so there's been a real lapse in the discipline of just making the decision to be part of a Christian body. And so we're going to talk about that next week, especially as it relates to this, the power in unity, being together, and being focused together. Philippians 1, 27 and 28 says this, and again, it's the Apostle Paul this time talking to the church in Philippi. It's so many of these letters in the New Testament were written by Paul. Whatever happens, he says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. See, Paul is trying to encourage the Philippians here. Number one, he says, oh, guys, I want you to think about who you are and who you say you represent. Make sure that your conduct, as individuals and as a group, is worthy of being, you know, claimed to be part of the gospel of Christ. Then he says, you know, he gets this picture, this description of them standing firm together, contending together, resisting the attacks of the enemy together, resisting a lot of the doctrines and the things that were being thrown at them to try to tear them away from Christ together as they persevere together against the forces that were conspiring to try to tear them down. I'm telling you, when you're alone and struggling, you're alone and struggling. And you go to the Lord, and that's fantastic, and you have him. But God has given us each other to be able to be there to encourage and to rebuke and to challenge and to inspire, to hold each other accountable. And it's all good. It's all good. So we're going to talk more about this part of it next week. And then finally this, priority. The priority here in persevering is that my primary focus is always going to be on God. I'm keeping my eyes on God. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. That's my desire. I'm putting aside my own stubbornness, my own pride, my own bitterness, whatever logical reason I have to press on towards the goal for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Psalm 16:8. Psalmist writes this, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. You get a sense of focus. I have set the Lord always before me. I set him before me. Psalm 62. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him. For God is our refuge, Selah, which is that old Hebrew term, which is kind of pause, think, reflect. God wants you to know that he wants you to be able to come to him. He wants to be your rock. He wants to be your foundation. He wants to be your fortress. He wants to be your rest. He wants to be your refuge. He wants you to come and trust him, to pour out your heart to him, and to take refuge in him. And he's always there to do that, no matter who you feel has forsaken you. Let me close with one scripture, and then we'll wrap this up. Hebrews 10, 19 through 23 says this, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and we're talking here about in the temple. This is a sermon in and of itself. The holy place, the only person that could go into that place was the high priest. Because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was before it ended up in a warehouse in D.C. Anyway, the Ark of the Covenant was in there, and Scripture tells us the presence of God hovered over that, and only the high priest could go in there. Well, the writer of Hebrews is reminding us, now that Jesus Christ became our high priest once and for all, any of us can go into the holy place. So he says, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. Remember that curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple? The day that Christ died and gave up his spirit was torn in two from top to bottom as if the very hands of God reached down and did that. And he said, enough is enough. That is his body. And so now this curtain is represented by the body of Christ. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold, and I love this word, unswervingly, to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Remember that when you come to Christ, it's not about you anymore. It's about what God does in you. It's what God changes in you. It's what God is beginning in you. It's what God wants to continue in you. It's what God wants to work in you. I mean, you can come to me and say, well, nobody's perfect. Well, I know that, and you know that, and that's just kind of a dumb thing to say because we all know that nobody's perfect. That's kind of a given. The reality is God wants to work in you to make you something that you can't be on your own. And then he wants you to hold unswervingly to that because he who promises faithful, faithful to do what? Faithful to continue the work that he started in you, washing your heart, cleansing your conscience, washing you with the water of his spirit and the truth of his word. To persevere is to press toward the goal that God has called you, to become what he wants you to be. Let's stand together and pray. Father, it's so easy for us to focus on what we are unable to do. It's so easy for us to focus on what we aren't. It's so easy for us to focus on what we haven't yet accomplished. When the reality is you would rather us focus on what we are, what we've become, and what you've made us, and what you're continuing to make us. God, and I, we have no concept, Lord, of us somehow being special in any way other than that you are living in us and that you are empowering us, and without you we are nothing. So I pray, God, that the world would not see human pride, that the world would not see some sense of elitism in us, that instead, God, that the world would look at Christians and realize that they are people that acknowledge their weaknesses, people that acknowledge what it is that's kept them from God and have come to you and have allowed you to begin a transforming process in us. I pray, God, you'd help us to be real with you, real with one another, and always pursuing the higher goal, the higher calling that you've called us to follow, Lord, to become that thing that we can never become on our own, to become something that only you can do in us, so that we stand before you with the righteousness of Christ on our lives. We thank you for making these things possible. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say something corny like, never give up, never surrender.